Here we are.
The New Spins Library. Hey Montreal, it's a great day out there. Welcome to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando. We have a music magazine show for you today with three pre-recorded interviews from the Music Spot. The first interview is with Lucy Lambert of Violet Drift. Violet Drift has just released a new eponymous album, and Lucy Lambert will be with us to share some traditional Django Reinhardt compositions from it. The second interview is with DJ Caraba, who is a music producer and dancer. She will share a couple of current singles from her new album, Deliverance. Finally, Lily de Romagna will be our guest for an interview about My Death in June, a music production whose music plays like something a Dalek might sing. Is it death metal or some kind of bandsaw punk? We'll find out more coming up. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and at 8:30 we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is time travel possible? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
The smoke rings I blow each night. And what do? The circles of blue and white. And what do they tell? And what is the spell they cast? Though some of them fall, some seem to recall the past. Though most of them rise away to the skies above. Oh, those smoke rings bring me back my love. Thank you.
award-winning Canadian singer-songwriter Ryan Kennedy. Brand new third album, Libertine, out now. This genre-bending album boasts a profound pop aesthetic with touches of country, rock, and a hint of disco. Inspired by the 70s and 80s greats, Bruce Springsteen and Elton John. Listen wherever you stream music, more at ryankennedymusic.ca.
Good morning, McGill University. This is Todor O, letting you know that CKUT has some of the freshest and hottest artists you can find anywhere in Canada. Oh, I think I just made myself hungry. Anyway, you are listening to and hopefully savoring the new Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Lucy Lambert is a virtuosic accordionist, jazz singer, and multi-instrumentalist living in Montreal. She is the founder, accordionist, and lead singer of Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, who have just released their first full-length jazz album. With us today, we have Lucy Lambert, leader virtuoso of the jazz band Violet Drift. Hi, Lucy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Do please introduce yourself and tell us how you became a musician and got together with your bandmates in Violet Drift.
Well, my name is Lucy Lambert, and I run this jazz band now. For me, music has been a pretty long journey now. It's been about 10 years I've been a musician and played with a lot of different groups, and this is my first jazz project that I've led myself. For me, music started when I was 16 and my dad gave me his old record collection, and I started playing guitar and singing when my parents gave me a guitar also. So my first instrument was guitar, and I listened to a lot of classic rock records and started learning all these songs that I love from my record player on the internet. I was always collecting music. Then I found it was really what I loved to do, and I just started traveling and busking when I finished high school. So it's really just been like my lifestyle to travel and play music and make money playing music in the streets. Kind of when I finished high school was the main thing I was doing. Then I went to Europe doing that, and I was able to travel and make a lot of money street performing. And then I actually picked up the accordion because I used to work as a life drawing model in Vancouver. And then I was on my break from work and I went into an antique store and I found an accordion there. So just kind of was really serendipitous how that happened in my life. But it was actually a really great instrument to busk with because it's a great solo instrument and you can sing with it, learn different melodies and harmonies together. And I picked up violin as well at that point. I played like six different instruments, but it was a bit harder to sing and perform alone with the violin because you have this piece of wood right in your throat and you're learning more the melodies and not like the harmonies and the melodies together. So once I started playing accordion, which was when I was about 20, it was easier to perform and to sing alone. Mm-hmm. And it was easier to learn jazz on that instrument. So then I just started playing more jazz and learning more of the gypsy jazz and New Orleans swing kind of repertoire, which kind of opened itself up for me on the accordion just because of how the instrument is arranged, that you have both the harmonies and the bass and the melodies. It was kind of more fun to learn jazz on the accordion. So that's kind of how that happened.
Who are your bandmates and what does everyone play or do?
Well, we have Joe Abbott playing clarinet. Then we have Juliette Malgrange on the cello. We have Tyler Parent playing the bass and Louis Levesque playing the tenor banjo. Mostly I create the arrangements in the group, and I was solely involved kind of in the production of the album, but they're really all great jazz players. So you hear their contribution a lot through their improv and through our chemistry together as musicians. And so, yeah, you kind of just get our vibe of us playing together.
What is the name of your new jazz album? And what can we expect from this latest piece of work?
Well, the album is called Lucy Lambert's Violet Drift, and it's a collection of interpretations of early jazz tunes. So I think you'll hear a lot of our personal expression and our sound as musicians by listening to the album. You'll hear a lot of kind of my personal expression through my singing, you know, all of our different improvisation. We kind of all have our own style, so it's kind of nice to hear us playing together on the album. And a lot of the songs that I chose for the album, they're not very well known, so we've kind of brought something different out through them by creating instruments for this instrumentation. And there's not a lot of jazz accordion or cello in this kind of music usually, so we kind of have a pretty unique sound as a band. I think it's a pretty special jazz project to kind of hear the unique personal expression of some really seasoned artists in the group, which is kind of what inspired me also to do the album, was just getting to play with such talented band members and everyone being excited about the project, which is really cool to kind of find that. Yeah, I mean, I think jazz is kind of all about people expressing uniquely who they are and their personal kind of approach to improvisation and to how they respond to their band members. And it's a live album, so you kind of get a lot of a sense of just kind of what it's like when we play together. And that's kind of a unique thing, which is kind of special. I've known them all for a while, all those musicians. So it was fun to work on a project together, because when I used to travel and perform as a street musician, I met so many different people and had such an incredible time just busking in Europe and America. And that's kind of how I know a lot of my friends now. And a lot of my bandmates is from just traveling around and being part of a kind of artistic culture, which is really like a kind of a lifestyle of traveling. So it's a pretty nice thing to kind of start to synthesize some of the things that I've learned through like traveling and playing and going to New Orleans to kind of find this music and being inspired by the music of New Orleans. And that's how I know Joe and Tyler, is just kind of from seeing them around as part of that. And then Joe and I started playing together and recorded a folk album on Salt Spring Island last summer, because we were both part of a folk project that was recorded called the Camperdown Family Band. And that was really fun, because we just like slept out in the dirt next to this trailer where we were all recording after performing at this festival. And it was really fun and magical. Then we were both in Montreal in the fall, so it made a lot of sense to keep playing together and do this album. So it kind of just fell into place. And then I met Louis at a jazz jam in Montreal when I returned to Montreal. And I met Juliette, the cello player, one of my first nights back into town. When I came back to Montreal very spontaneously, I met her at her birthday party where we were playing together. So it all just kind of fell into place just to kind of make this band with these people. So it was a pretty fun experience.
In both Belleville and Swing 39, you drift from jazz to Dixieland band. Where do you go to find the music that makes Violet drift?
Well, like I said, I spent a lot of time traveling and spent a lot of time in New Orleans in my early 20s. And also went and traveled in Europe, and I was really influenced by the kind of Django music and like European swing vibe. It's also really popular kind of in Montreal. So that repertoire is mostly what I was excited to play on accordions. I learned a lot of jazz tunes by going to New Orleans, and both Belleville and Swing 39 are the Django Reinhardt compositions on the album, which is a really big part of what I studied on accordion since I picked it up. And those are just some of my favorite Django Reinhardt tunes. But I learn a lot of songs from people that I meet kind of while playing with them and playing in different bands. So I'll just kind of remember a song that someone taught me that, you know, is kind of a special experience playing with them or learning from them. And then I'll teach them a song too, and we'll kind of, then I'll end up kind of with a repertoire of different music that people have taught me, which is kind of nice because they're all kind of meaningful songs to me.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yeah, let's listen to it.
This is Belleville on the New Spins Library. Thank you. you like to perform if you could travel anywhere in the world?
I would really love to go to New York City, actually. And I sent the album out to some different groups and different magazines in New York. And there's a lot of interest, actually, in us coming to New York and doing a tour sometime soon, which is exciting because it seems like there's been some interest in it from some different jazz magazines in the States and stuff, which would be so fun because I think New York is like a really great city for jazz. You know, it's either like New Orleans is kind of a great city for jazz too, but I think New York is kind of a really amazing city if you really love art. And I do visual art also, so I think it'd be really incredible to go and play in New York. And it's not that far from Montreal either. It's only 6 hours away, so I think that would be like a really nice next stop.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes, definitely.
This is Swing 39 on CKUT. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music or concert tickets, where should they go?
Well, we have now released the album on all platforms after doing our album release party at Le Ver Butai. So now it's out on Spotify, it's on Bandcamp, it's on iTunes, even on YouTube Music. So yeah, it's on all platforms and you can stream for free all of those, or you can buy the album on my website or on Bandcamp. We have physical copies and CDs printed, as well as digital album copies and download codes. So yeah, check it out on all those platforms.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Lucy Lambert speaking about her music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
CKUT, where the new spins be. Liberate, we probably the true meaning of libraries. The world out some station for the community that news, arts, and culture shape our intellectuality. Releasing these new spins during these bright grins. Wednesday morning, 7 to 9 on 90.3 is where it's happening. Tune in, the tunes are in tune, and with some interviewing, the new spins library Wednesday, 7 a.m. is broadcast. The New Spins Library. The New Spins Library. The New Spins Library. The New Spins.
It's 29 and sunshine through the day. You're sipping wine, but you don't like the taste. And I love how you care about your hair, my darling. Already tired, but it's just the way I feel. No cigarettes, no whiskey could bring me near. And I love how you see every part. Last all this summer, sweet. And if I told you I love you, would you say it back? If I told you I'm broke, would you give me cash? Would you just put on that song we love and ask me to dance? I never thought I would find you, then you hit me back. Just can't pretend that I don't miss you, darling. And if you're holding somebody's hand, then I swear I'd be dying. And if I told you I love you, would you say it back? If I told you I'm broke, would you give me cash? Would you just put on?
I never thought I would find you, then you hit me back, pull me out of the game. I'm skipping town, heading outbound. Got your song in my head, sing it loud and proud, saying I'm not the one, no, I'm not the one. I'm heading south, drove by halfway down California, babe. Don't call me now, say I'm not the one, no, I'm not the one. And if I told you I love
What's up, everyone? I'm Solo, an independent artist from Toronto, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
DJ Karaba has released her debut EP, Deliverance, on November 18th, a few months after the release of her latest single, Passamenu Passage. With us today, we have DJ Karaba. Hi, DJ Karaba, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a music producer.
I'm a DJ producer from Montreal. I was born in France and grew up here in Quebec. And before that, I was a professional dancer. And this is how I got into DJing and then further on got into music production. I think I just have a passion for music in general. So it just makes sense that I just naturally went into music production.
What does it mean to be Franco-Congolese, and how does your cultural background influence your music?
It means a lot of things. I mean, I have French and Congolese, so I have both my parents that are really big fans of music and bringing their own, like, kind of own taste to what music is. So it definitely influenced me. And beyond being French and Congolese, I just have a huge passion for music and my parents as well. So I just think it, you can feel that in the music I make. It's like I get inspired by Motown, by the music from Congo, by French rap, and I try to put all that in the music I make.
What did you do during your childhood that led you to dance for the greats like Drake, Camila Cabello, and Selena Gomez?
Well, my first passion was dance. So I started dancing when I was 7 years old, when I first moved to Canada. And then the minute I started it, I knew I was going to be a professional dancer. So I just went for it. I moved to New York when I was 20 and then moved to Los Angeles. And then that's where I got to work for these amazing artists. And it was just a big accomplishment for me to do all of this. It's like a big dream. So for sure, when it happened, I was very excited and very proud of myself.
Your latest single is Passamenu Passage. What are you talking about in this song?
I'm talking about, well, it's, first of all, I've worked with African Drums and Mopao Mumu, who are two artists that I really admire. So with the vocalist Mopao, who's a Congolese artist from Montreal, I wanted to create a song where it celebrates the language of Congo, which is Lingala, one of the many languages. So I just gave her freedom to do whatever she wanted with the songwriting. And she came out with this phrase, Passamenu Passage, who actually is saying, like, make place, I've arrived. And she repeats it towards the song, and it's just, that's what it's about. It's just arriving. You make a long journey and you arrive and you want to celebrate that. So that's what this song is about.
May we hear some of your music?
Sure.
This is Passamenu Passage on the New Spins Library.
Thank you.
latest EP is entitled Deliverance. What are the themes you're dealing with throughout the album?
I think in general, I'm talking about freeing myself from a lot of things. That's why I've called the EP Deliverance, which in English, like in French, well, it means freeing yourself. When I created the EP, it was during the pandemic, and I felt like there was just a lot of things that were holding me back. And I had just transitioned from being a professional dancer to DJ and into music production. So I really wanted to cover that subject and also personal relationships. The last song of the EP is a celebration of my relationship with my dad, and the song is called Muzu. So I think it's a mix of a lot of things, but most likely it's more like freeing myself from a lot of experiences.
Did you have collaborators on the album? Who were they and what did they do?
I had collaborators. I work with Stephen Ramsey, who is one of my mentors in music. He's part of the band Young Galaxy, and he helped me with the production side of it. So we did a lot of songs I produced myself, and I had him like overlooking the songs and making sure it sounds right. So I've worked with them. I've worked with African Drums on Pesamunu Passage, who are producers from Mozambique. And then we had Mopao Mumu, who is also the vocalist. So yes.
Are you planning on touring this year? And do you have any upcoming concerts?
I'm definitely planning on having gigs as far as DJing. I don't know about like a tour yet. We're working on it. Definitely have some dates in 2023, and I'm excited to share it with the people.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Sure.
This is Deliverance on CKUT. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music or concert tickets, where should they go?
They can go on my Spotify. You have all the information on Spotify at DJ Caraba, or on my Instagram, my TikTok, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. It's all the same at DJ Caraba. So it's very easy to find it. And you'll find all the information you need if you want to listen to the music, listen to videos, anything is out there.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to DJ Caraba speaking about her music and background. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando. My death in June is meant to represent the certainty and metaphorical death of my inner ego as I reawakened my artistic side and left Yena Ravana, they say. With us today, we have Lily de Romana of My Death in June. Hi, Lily, and welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a part of My Death in June.
So my name, as you stated, is Lily de Romana, and I am the producer for My Death in June. I am the only member, and it's kind of my experimental side that I wanted to explore further beyond Yena Ravana, as you kind of touched on before.
The music you play sounds like it came from a Dalek from Doctor Who, and your name is Romana. What do you and your music have to do with Romana on the show Doctor Who?
Well, I didn't choose my last name. However, I did find it interesting, the parallel you drew, because although I have a lot of artists in my family who share the name De Romana, they're all abstract artists. I also find that it's a good coincidence that my music happens to be electronic, noisier, more aggressive, which kind of fits with the Daleks as well.
Are you a solo artist? And if you have bandmates, what does everyone play or do?
I am a solo artist. I do have friends that I send my music to just for feedback and stuff like that, but I write and produce my own music completely on my own.
What is the process you went through producing your latest single, Gestation?
With Gestation, I was trying to make the industrial and more ambient sides of my music kind of equally shine. And to do that, I felt that the drums would fit better distorted and more industrial, while the ambience kind of is more melodic in the background. Going with that, it was also a good way to look at the duality of the eventual debut, which is kind of breaking yourself down to eventually find yourself. With that all in mind, I ended up coming up with Gestation.
Gestation is a time of pregnancy. What is the pregnancy you are describing in your sound art?
It's mostly describing the quote-unquote protagonist of the debut kind of setting in this kind of toxic behavior that affects their friend group. In a sense, that way it's a gestation of that behavior and what would later become the album, but it's also a gestation of where I'm trying to bring My Death in June sonically, to a more short form but an interesting place.
May we hear some of your music?
Yeah, of course, I'd love that.
This is Gestation on CKUT.
Yeah.
You've offered me another single called Mycelium, and you mixed it just for this show. What's the story behind this song?
So Mycelium kind of has a similar idea that Gestation has. Mycelium, of course, being kind of the root of a mushroom, and mushrooms being kind of parasitic. This one's written from the perspective of everyone outside of the protagonist. It's the only thing in the album to be written like that, and it's supposed to kind of have a reference point for the people outside of them, so you sympathize with both sides.
May we listen to some more of your music?
I would love that as well.
This is Mycelium on the New Spins Library. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music or concert tickets, where should they go?
They can find me at mydeathinjune.neocities.org, or they can also look at my Bandcamp, which is mydeathinjune.bandcamp.com, where they can find all my music.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Lily DiRamagna speaking about her music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
With a spade and a hoe, dig a hole, dig it deep down low, plant a seed in some healthy soil, add rain and sun, and watch it grow, add rain and sun, and watch it grow. Seeds will grow where they're sown, in rain and sun, they'll grow on their own. But we can help and give them what they need, water and light to help them grow. The start. If you give friends love through life's sun and rain, friendships will grow. Yes, they'll grow. If you give them love, friendships will grow.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Our journalism is powered by you, not by any corporation or government. That means we count on your support to produce our daily news hour. Please make your donation of $5 or $10 or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Thank you so much. This is Democracy Now!
We believe that the evidence described by my colleagues today and assembled throughout our hearings warrants a criminal referral of former President Donald J. Trump, John Eastman, and others for violations of this statute. The whole purpose and obvious effect of Trump's scheme were to obstruct, influence and impede this official proceeding, the central moment for the lawful transfer of power in the United States.
The House January 6th Select Committee has unanimously voted to refer Donald Trump to the Justice Department to face criminal charges, including aiding an insurrection, as he attempted to overturn the 2020 election. We'll get response and air excerpts from the committee's final public hearing.
No man who would behave that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for any office.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol has wrapped up its 18-month probe by recommending criminal charges against former President Donald Trump. At the committee's final public hearing Monday, Maryland Democratic Congressmember Jamie Raskin said Trump betrayed his oath of office by assisting in an insurrection against the constitutional order.
The committee believes that more than sufficient evidence exists for a criminal referral of former President Trump for assisting or aiding and comforting those at the Capitol who engaged in a violent attack on the United States. The committee has developed significant evidence that President Trump intended to disrupt the peaceful transition of power under our Constitution.
After headlines, we'll air clips from the January 6th committee's final hearing and spend the rest of the hour discussing its findings. Jury selection got underway Monday in the trial of the former leader of the far-right Proud Boys organization and four of his associates. Enrique Tarrio and the others each face 9 counts, including seditious conspiracy against the United States, after they heeded then-President Donald Trump's call to, quote, fight like hell at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. All 5 men have pleaded not guilty. Their attorneys have argued their actions were constitutionally protected free speech. In immigration news, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts Monday temporarily blocked the Biden administration from ending the contested Trump-era Title 42 pandemic policy that was set to end Wednesday. Roberts gave Biden officials until this afternoon to respond to an emergency appeal filed by several Republican-led states challenging the policy's termination. Title 42 has been in force since March 2020, used to expel over 2 million migrants from the U.S.-Mexico border, blocking them from seeking asylum. Thousands have been forced to wait in Mexico, where they hope they would be finally allowed to safely enter the U.S. to apply for relief when Title 42 was lifted this week. This is Emily Rivas, an asylum seeker from Venezuela who's been stuck in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, across the border from El Paso, Texas.
Please soften the heart of the president. Let all the people cross into the U.S. We have suffered a great deal since we left Venezuela. We traveled through the jungle and all those countries we have been through. I ask him from the bottom of my heart that they allow us to cross.
Human rights groups in the United Kingdom have vowed to keep fighting an immigration policy that allows the British government to deport asylum seekers to Rwanda. On Monday, a court ruled the program is legal under British and international law. The policy was first announced in April. Paul O'Connor of the Public and Commercial Services Union denounced the ruling.
We were clear right from the outset that our members didn't want to carry out this policy on a basis they thought it was unlawful, morally reprehensible, and utterly inhumane. The judges today may well have found that decision to be lawful, but it remains morally reprehensible and utterly inhumane, and we will continue to do all we can to fight this policy.
In Iran, the body of a 23-year-old protester who recently died in police custody showed signs of severe torture, according to his family. The body of Hamed Salashur, who was a taxi driver, was exhumed by his family after security forces buried him, claiming he died of a heart attack after he was detained in late November and disappeared for 4 days. After viewing his remains, Salashur's family said his face was smashed, his nose, jaw, and chin broken, and that he had stitches going from his neck to his navel and over his kidneys. This comes as the parents of a young man are pleading for their son's life as he faces execution over his involvement in the anti-government protesters. The father of Mehdi Mohammad Karami appealed to Iranian officials in a video posted on social media.
I'm pleading desperately for judicial authorities, for Mr. Ajayi himself, to remove this death sentence from my son's case.
Amnesty International warns at least 26 people are at risk of being executed for participating in the mass protests in Iran that have taken place over in the streets since September. Palestinians in the Israeli-occupied West Bank have declared a one-day general strike to mourn the death of prisoner Nasser Abu Hamid. The 49-year-old Palestinian had been held in an Israeli prison since his arrest in 2002 for his involvement in an armed wing of the ruling Fatah party. He was diagnosed from prison with late-stage lung cancer in August of 2021. His family says Israeli prison authorities ignored his medical complaints for months, leading him to die of medical neglect. Human rights groups say dozens of other Palestinian prisoners have died of preventable diseases due to a lack of routine health checks. Meanwhile, Israel's deported French Palestinian activist and lawyer Salah Hamouri to France in a move condemned by human rights groups and the French Foreign Ministry. Before his deportation Sunday, Hamouri had been held without charge under Israel's so-called administrative detention law since his arrest in March. Hamouri is a longtime resident of East Jerusalem, which Israel's occupied since 1967. UN human rights spokesperson Jeremy Lawrence said in a statement, quote, deporting a protected person from occupied territory is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention, constituting a war crime, he said. In Sudan, security forces fired tear gas and stun grenades Monday to disperse thousands of people protesting military rule. The protest in the capital, Khartoum, came on the fourth anniversary of the start of the uprising that toppled the longtime authoritarian president Omar al-Bashir. It came 2 weeks after Sudan's ruling military junta and pro-democracy group signed a deal to gradually prepare Sudan for its first election and transition to civilian rule after the October 21 military coup. Protesters who took to the streets Monday rejected that agreement, saying it would leave coup leaders in power for at least 2 more years.
The revolution will continue and will not stop. Our basic demand is to live a decent life in this country, and we will not give up our rights in any way. Even if agreements were signed between politicians and soldiers, this is not what the Sudanese people want.
Russian President Vladimir Putin visited the capital of Belarus on Monday for talks with his counterpart, President Alexander Lukashenko, amidst growing fears Russia's preparing to launch a new invasion from Ukraine's neighbor to the north. Lukashenko has allowed the Kremlin to use Belarus as a staging ground throughout Russia's offensive in Ukraine. On Monday, Putin dismissed concerns Russia might annex Belarus, a former Soviet republic.
Russia is not interested in absorbing anyone. It just doesn't make any sense.
In Washington, D.C., State Department spokesperson Ned Price called Putin's statement the height of irony, pointing to Russia's unilateral annexation of 4 territories of Ukraine last September. In Canada, 6 people are dead, including the gunman, after a man with a semi-automatic handgun opened fire on the suburban Toronto condominium building where he lived. 3 of the victims were members of the condominium board. The gunman, a 73-year-old with a history of harassing property managers and his neighbors, was shot dead by police. In labor news, thousands of Uber drivers in New York City led a 24-hour strike Monday after the ride-hailing corporation blocked pay raises the drivers were scheduled to receive this month. This is Ibrahim Ghori, a Lyft and Uber driver and a member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance.
We should be able to spend time with our families, get vacation with our kids, because you go out there every single day to make that happen. We want to take our kids to college, give them education they need in the near future. That's why this fight is for us, for all drivers across the country.
A New York Republican, newly elected to Congress, appears to have fabricated key parts of his education and employment history, according to an investigation by the New York Times, which found Congressmember-elect George Santos lied when he told voters he'd worked for Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. The IRS says an animal rescue group Santos claims to have led, called Friends of Pets United, did not file any records indicating it had tax-exempt status, as Santos claimed. The New York Times also found Santos faced criminal charges for check fraud in Brazil at a time when he claimed to be attending classes at Baruch College, which has no enrollment records for Santos. And Santos falsely claimed his company lost 4 employees at the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando in June 2016. In November, Santos made history as the first openly gay Republican to win a House seat as a non-incumbent representing a district in Long Island and Queens that previously favored Democrats. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has yet to comment on the Times investigation. Many House Democrats are calling on McCarthy to block Santos from being seated when the 118th Congress is sworn in next month. And in Los Angeles, Harvey Weinstein has been convicted on additional three charges of rape and sexual assault. The convictions were related to one survivor, an Italian model identified only as Jane Doe number one, who testified Weinstein raped her in a hotel room in 2013. The jury acquitted Weinstein of one charge and were deadlocked on three other charges involving two other survivors. Jennifer Siebel Newsom, the first partner of California Governor Gavin Newsom, and Lauren Young. The district attorney's office will determine whether it will retry Weinstein on those counts. This is attorney Gloria Allred speaking about her client, Lauren Young, after the verdict was announced Monday.
She's very happy that there were convictions in this case. And she also indicates that if, as and when, the prosecution decides to prosecute Mr. Weinstein again, she is willing to testify again in a third criminal trial against Mr. Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein is already serving a 23-year prison sentence for rape and criminal sexual assault in New York, though he is appealing those convictions. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report.
When it comes to respiratory viruses, there are some people who fall a little sick, some who fall quite sick, and some who fall very sick.
When sickness hits, some people fall further than others. Wearing a mask is a simple gesture that acts as a safety net for all of us. To better protect yourself and those around you from the viruses going around, it's a good idea to wear a mask in crowded public places. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
This is Brian Campbell, and you're listening to New Spins Library on CKUT.
It's a lightning morning, the sun is shining bright. Put away your sadness, dear, we're gonna have a bright good time.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather.